I thank the Lord for all that he is and all that he means to me. I'm certainly glad to be his child. With the passing of my mother, it has brought a realization of what really is important. And I valued her life here on earth, but her life here on earth is no longer. But I value more the knowledge of her eternal inheritance. And I treasure that, and it's caused me to think about it a lot. And so that's what I'd like for us to continue with tonight. I'll just give you what the Lord has given me. Eternal investments. We live in a country that front page news is not going to be this at all. We live in a society where we hear the words American dream a lot. And the rags to riches story is something we're all still very intrigued with. And to think that in this country we can prosper if we want to, just by willpower and making some very wise decisions. And because of that, it causes us to lose sight of sometimes what's really important. And not that I say that we shouldn't have that. I believe that in determination and being wise with your time, your money, yourself. But when you look at it, when that last breath is drawn, it's not what you have in your bank account that matters at all. I think I've said this before when John Rockefeller died. Someone at the wake said to the accountant, how much did he leave? Wanting to know the value of what he left. And the accountant said, all of it. All of it. And he was one that I think when they said he stood on the floor in the morning, he had already made thousands of dollars. Every minute was thousands of dollars. The investments were very noteworthy, and but he left all of it. And many times we get caught up in those cycles, and we forget that there's something that's far more important than anything. Sometimes we even get tied up with governments, political powers, and investing in that. And that you can live a saved life in every country. There are going to be countries that you'll suffer death for it, but it's not going to stop you in a prison. They can lock you up for it. They can kill you for it, but you can keep it until your death. There is no society that you can't be a child of God. It's just your freedoms may be limited, if any at all. You may have no freedoms at all if you choose. But so that tells me that there's something that supersedes every cultural background, every social background, every government background. And that's where we need to put our eggs in that basket. You know, they always tell you investment. How is your portfolio? Then are you growing slowly in this part, but don't put everything in that. You're growing rapidly in this part, but don't put everything in that. Make sure your eggs are in different baskets because you just don't know what's going to come, what's going to go. That volatile ups and downs of the stock market, of the American dollar, it's always going to be changing. So make sure that you're invested in different places so that you can reap the benefit overall of all of it. But this is worthy to put every egg in that basket because it's eternal. And when I look at that, it almost makes me think of the seriousness of life. It really does. So I'd like for you to turn with me. This is all familiar to us, but it's just basically a reminder. Lord, help me not to get caught up in what's superficial, but to be caught up in what is very real. And that is eternity. In 19th verse of the 6th chapter of Matthew, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I remember doing a lesson with children when we lived there in Alabama, and I had a bag. And in that bag was multiple items, toys, a playhouse, a toy car, a little figurine to represent family. And I passed it all around, and I asked them each one, clothing, just different things in that bag. So it said, moth nor rust doth corrupt. Okay, so tell me what you have in your hand there. Okay, oh, a little car. If you had a great big car, can it last forever? And the little children were like, no, it'll break down, it'll rust, it'll be in a field somewhere. Well, what about your clothing? Can it last forever? Can it last forever? No, because it'll decay, it'll break apart, it'll get brittle, it'll have a finality. And it makes you realize that everything we touch is finite, but our soul is eternal. And it's so important that when we put that egg in the basket, so to speak, that eternal egg, it'll last forever. It'll gain more dividends than we can even imagine. We don't know what all it will develop for us. I think, too, of when we live here on earth, and yet I don't mean it as dark or dismal, but we really are imprisoned by her humanity. We really are. I think of us in a tunnel, if you want to say it. It's just kind of a picture, word picture I'd like to put in your mind, that we live just here and we're doing all of the things that we need to do, but there's an escape hatch that someday we'll get to crawl through. And on the other side is eternity. And when we can help someone up that ladder and know that that escape hatch is opening, and know that they've made it through, the comfort that we need to feel and understanding, they've made it. They've made it. They're in an eternal realm that is not suffering the darkness here, the spiritual wickedness, the things that trouble us, the humanity that weighs us down, the prison that we are basically held in, so to speak. But if we can do anything to promote a soul up that ladder and through that escape hatch, what a wonderful, wonderful investment that is. Most of all, realizing that one day I'm going to be climbing that ladder, and I want to make heaven my home too. I want to be on that other side. But while I'm here, I want to be doing everything I can to promote that cause, to promote it in myself, to promote it in my family, to promote it in my church of God, sisters and brothers, to promote it in them, and then to promote it to the extended family, and then to the world. Lord, help me to know how to make that eternal investment. And sometimes we may not see the return of it, but that's okay. You can invest and not have to see the return. It will be okay. It's still worth the investment. Proverbs, the 11th chapter and the 30th verse. Proverbs 11 and 30. Actually, I'd like to go up a little bit further. Just go up. That's 27th verse. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. So there's a positive, and then there was a negative. He that trusteth in riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be a servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteousness is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. He that invests in a soul is wise. Because you never know what your life, your efforts, your money put in that direction, what it will do. That little seed that is sown, you just never know. You can never know that. But the Lord does, and he's very aware of it. And, you know, it says that his cast thy bread upon the water, and it shall return after many days. Do you know there's going to be times it'll re-return, and you may not be present. But that return will be there. And the Lord is going to hold everyone accountable that has had that chance and denied it. But that's not our job. Our job is to cast it. Our job is to give it. Everything that you have, every breath that you take, may it be for the Lord. In whatever capacity that is. It can't be all things in one day, but every day it can be all things, if that makes sense. I can promote the cause of Christ with every breath that I take. Matthew, the 13th chapter, and the 44th verse. You know, people that invest in real estate is really a fascinating thing to me, because I've seen people hold on to real estate a long time, and then it happened to be, for example, here in Neosho, that little corner there that Aldi's and the Zach's car wash is on, how many years did we see it as a desolate, ugly corner? It had that awful hotel on it forever, Neosho Inn. And the reason we know it's Neosho Inn, because the sign lasted forever. That was a horrible little corner there. It looked ugly. It was just weed, just infested, and old pavement with it all grown up there. And they cleaned it all up, and now look at it. And I've often wondered, I don't know who invested in that, who held the title to that, but it is a beautiful piece of real estate now, isn't it? And it has a value to it. And that's always fascinated me, if you could just buy low and wait a while and then sell high. Just how awesome that is. Well, you know what? Spiritually, you can do that. Because it says here, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. He'd invested in that field. I think of Brother Daryl in Sacramento. He's investing in a field. And our job is to promote that cause, however we can do it. Thank you, Lord, for what you've been doing in that direction. Because that's an investment in souls. Brother Daryl has already visited the neighborhood and has found out, they said, if there's a church here, we will come. What an opportunity. Godless place. But that's God-fearing that needs to be happening in those people. Those people need salvation. Who else but godless people? They need the Lord. And I look at that and I'm excited by that. And I think, Lord, help us to promote that cause in whatever direction it is. Help us to realize that he that winneth souls is wise. That's a worthy investment. It's worth my time. It's worth my money. It's worth my prayers. It's worth my support, however that support might be. I thank the Lord for that, and I'm excited about that. I'm excited to see what investment that will bring. On a more serious note, in a home, Deuteronomy 11th chapter pretty much describes it so well. When you have children, you already have your field. You have a grand and great responsibility. And you're going to be sowing seeds, whether they be good or whether they be bad. Because you can promote in your children the cause of Christ so that they want it so bad that they choose it. Or you can present to them an awfulness to it, and they leave home and say, I'll never come back. This is an awful way. They act like salvation is a headache, and I'm not interested. Do you know there's such a beauty in salvation, but we have a grave responsibility, but a grand responsibility. So in the 11th chapter of Deuteronomy, 18th verse, it says, therefore shall ye lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. In other words, every time I look, every time I feel the presence of those frontlets on me, I feel the necessity of what's written in my hand, that I portray to these children the cause and beauty of Christ. And that's a wonderful thing. That does not mean your children will always choose that. But you've given them every opportunity to. Woe to parents who do not. I will give a little example. this is a story that I would tell my mom, and she would ask me to repeat it so many times because it meant so much to her. I had a little egg carton that in it was eggs having to do with the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. So I took it to my little grandsons, and I said, okay, we got a game to play. And they were so excited, and I said, now, you can't do every egg, so every third egg will be your egg. So we started out with egg number one, and they caught it right off the bat. They knew exactly. That's a palm leaf. That's when they went down Jerusalem and said, Hosanna! They were so excited. And Mom loved me telling about that, and she would cry, and she would say, I wish all of my great-grandchildren knew that. I wish even all of my grandchildren knew that. It was a burden to her because she had given herself for it, but others did not choose it. And there's a responsibility as a parent. You must teach them. That is your responsibility. If they don't choose it, that's not a reflection on you, but you choose it. And we don't know all the things. And it says, you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And if you're rising up grumpy every day, it's going to have a hard time convincing your children that's a good way. If you're lying down grumpy, if you're short, if you're impatient, if you're not aware of cherishing them, they'll know that. They can testify of your home. You can testify whatever you want. But the real deal is they'll testify for you. But let them testify. You know, we found the reality of that. We saw the reality of that. We had a lot of discussions about that. We had a lot of attention to that. We found in our own children, we spent a lot of time traveling. And sometimes that was opportune times because you're locked in a car, you can't do a whole lot. But there was a lot of discussions that we had, a lot of things that we listened to, a lot of things that promoted the cause. And my children even now talk about some of the things they listen to, the little programs, and they can just about verbatim tell them. And what a beautiful scene that is. And now I've got grandsons that have borrowed those same materials, and they're starting to repeat it too. But that's a beautiful thing because it gives them a chance. If they don't take that chance, that's their choice. But you've given them a chance. And I look at children that were never given a chance, never heard a parent pray, never heard a Bible story, never heard any of that. And what a serious responsibility is on that parent. It says, thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine gates, and upon thine house, and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land, which the Lord sware unto your fathers, to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. I thank the Lord for that. Children are a beautiful heritage, and I thank the Lord for that. And then we have 1 Corinthians, our final. And there's a reason for all of this. This kind of living produces something because there is an end. There is usually an end to the parents first, but sometimes you might have a child that leaves this world before the parents, and that's a lot of grief too. But there's something here that is valuable that we must recognize that all of this leads up to this very point, because life is uncertain, but death is sure. 1 Corinthians 15 and 50, and it says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. But I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, which means abundantly furnished, in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Because there's going to come a day that you're going to see that loved one gone. But the beauty of it is, the sting is gone. The grief you will share is because you will miss them, but you're not sorry for the inheritance that they have encompassed, that they have been released to. And that brings great hope. And I thank the Lord for that. I desire to be his child, and I desire that you pray for me.